Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
The show, sponsored by Straight Realty, your St. Louis area experts. Why pay more than four? 314-441-4444.
Thanks for checking in on the show here on KMOX. Chris Ranji, Amy Marks, of course, Kevin Wheeler here. We've got Cardinals baseball coming your way in a little while. 12:25 for the pregame show today. 1:20 for the first pitch. Miles Mikolas starting for the Cardinals. Marcus Stroman will make the start for the Cubs. And I've got the pregame show, so I have a little bit more about the Cardinals roster moves today and some of the things that are moving and shaking with guys going on rehab assignments and all that. So we'll make sure you're updated on all of that on the pregame show. And 1 hour from now, we'll bring Mike Claiborne in and talk about all things Cardinals-Cubs going into this. Well, not going into the weekend. I guess, well, we're not technically in the weekend yet, right? I mean, we've started the weekend series, so
weekend
that
adjacent.
Part we are in there, but we're not quite at the weekend yet. Well, you guys have an hour and 20 minutes, and then it's the weekend. I have an hour. I have 2 hours, and it's the weekend.
I got to work tomorrow.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
But still the weekend.
Yeah.
Nobody feels sorry for either of you.
No. That's not the point.
Are you
really
sure?
Wasn't the point. No, really wasn't. Sympathy was not the point.
Well, maybe a little.
No.
Was it a flex?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Meant definitely more that.
Okay. I wanted to bring this up because there's been a lot of talk about the president forgiving student loan. And so far, I mean, he has forgiven more student loan than any other president previously. He's canceled more than $25 billion of student loans, although those have all been targeted, whether they're public service loan forgiveness, forgiving loans because of permanent disability for borrowers, and even borrower defense for like for-profit schools that have since gone bankrupt.
But, like the Corinthian.
Like the Corinthian
the
college.
Fraud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he has not yet decided whether he's going to issue the blanket forgiveness of $10,000 of student loans for most borrowers. I think it's if you make $150,000 or less for individuals or $300,000 for married or joint filers. And this, in light of inflation, seems crazy to me because this is a highly inflationary action. The student loan debt by blanket forgiveness of $10,000 will disproportionately benefit those who already have more money, the top 10% of households. It, in fact, it forgives, I have the number here, $3.60 for the highest earning 10% households for every $1 to the bottom 10%. It is by nature regressive.
Can I say this? That $1 means a lot more to the bottom than the $3 does to the people at the
top.
See,
I don't buy that.
It does.
And
it,
I don't buy that to people who didn't go to college.
No, I know. Look, I'm not arguing in favor of this thing. I'm just saying that that value is not equal. Like, if you take somebody making minimum wage, $100 is a lot. $100 yes. to a baseball player is nothing. Literally nothing.
$10,000 to a guy who makes $1 million is nothing, but to somebody who makes $35,000,
it's a big deal.
That's a huge
deal.
But if you're going to spend that money, again, I think you have a better argument because people made the decision to go to college. A lot of people made the decision not to go to college because of this very issue of how expensive it is. It's already going to benefit the higher earners. The vast majority of student debt, or a great, I should say, number of percentage of student debt is in graduate degrees and higher earners, people who are going to be doctors and lawyers and have the ability to pay that off. So I think a better argument could be made if we're going to spend billions of dollars, start forgiving some medical debt or
100%.
Even a car payment that people need cars to go to work. And this has been touted as a stimulus for the economy. Biden himself touted it as a stimulus. We don't need a stimulus in this heated economy that we have already. It's by nature inflationary.
See, I agree with you that this is not the good idea. Like, in general, this is not a good idea. There are better. If you want to do something, let's correctively move forward and make it so that going to college isn't going to cost you $300,000.
Hold the colleges accountable.
I mean, like, to me, that's the step. If you want to, I would also agree with you on the forgiveness of medical debts more so
than
student loans. So I agree with you on that. But people that don't have money that owe it, when they get it back, will spend it. They're not going to hoard it. They're not going to save it. They're not going to put it in a savings account or anything like that. They're going to spend it. Mm-hmm. I say this from experience. In my 20s, we had student loans, and that lasted, by the way, until I was almost 40. So I know the pain, and I still don't want them to do this. And it's not because I'm going to be jealous. I don't care if they do it. I'm not going to be like, well, they got it and I didn't. I don't care. I did what I did. I chose what I did and I handled it. But that amount of money at that time, whatever amount, $10,000, $5,000, would have been me putting it right back to grocery stores, entertainment. No. But
it's going back.
But if it's going to the people that you're talking about, the top end, it's just adding to net worth. It's just adding to what you already have. It's not necessarily more. You're just going to be like, you're going to spend, because when you don't have money, you have to spend it when you do have it.
Well, do we want people to spend or not? Because I know that,
well,
you know,
I mean,
they don't. That's why the Fed's stepping in.
Yeah,
we need
I know, which is
so this
but some people don't have a choice. I mean, it's not a choice for most people.
But think about how crazy of an idea this is. Our entire society is based on consumption and spending, like everything. And now people are spending and it's like, we're spending too much.
Well, but this is important to me because Biden did just have an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal saying, I understand inflation. I'm going to try to take steps and blah, blah, blah. And he calls it Putin's tax hike. Back in 2021, economists were warning the Biden administration that inflation was coming. And if you Google Biden downplays inflation, it's over and over again that he downplays inflation. He dismisses it. Jen Psaki kind of made jokes about it. Janet Yellen just admitted to Wolf Blitzer a couple days ago she was completely wrong. And this is with one-third of the amount of money that the Biden administration wanted to pump into the economy with the the stimulus. They did $2 trillion instead of the proposed $6 trillion that they wanted to pump into the economy. It was such a grave miscalculation of the inflation that would come by pumping and this
so
much money into the
economy. What was the alternative at the time?
Well, we have
people just sink or swim. Good luck, Chuck. Have a good time.
I mean, here's what I'm saying is we had to do something. I was in favor of sending the checks.
Yeah.
There was no discrimination with the checks. People who didn't need checks got checks, and that went into
and
the
that's,
economy.
And to me, that's kind of a problem.
But it was, again, remember, this was $2 trillion pumped into the economy. They wanted $6
trillion. Mm-hmm.
Somehow, we are miscalculating exactly what we need to do. We've got two jobs open for every unemployed person.
Well, I do think it's also important, and you're right. I don't think this was handled exactly correctly. But I think we have to point out that inflation is not an American problem right now. This is a worldwide issue. We are not, by far, we are not the only country that is dealing with high rates of inflation. This is happening literally everywhere. So what I am uncomfortable with is only assigning the blame to the current president here. Like, where are you? Look at Biden's inflation. It's happening everywhere. Gas prices high everywhere. Mm-hmm. It is not just the United States.
It's not one thing. And I would not say that. My goodness, we'd have inflation if Trump were still president because he was a spender. He was a spender,
yeah,
too.
And there would still be inflation all over the world.
Is there also,
Trump,
though, not a
president.
Point to be made, too, that in all of this, when we're talking about the large-scale economy, that we have people that don't need every break in the book who can get every break in the book because
right.
they have influence. And I'm talking about guys like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, who, if you look at some of the reporting, don't pay taxes or their companies don't. And I'm not saying that these are two things that are inherently linked to each other. I mean, they're slightly separate, but the economy is a big thing with a lot of factors that go into it. So when we do something that's trying to help people that need help
yeah.
or don't have anything,
yeah.
it becomes a problem. It's causing these issues. But yeah, we're just going to look past the fact that Bezos isn't paying taxes. I mean, like, if we're going to fix it, we got to fix everything. You know, and when we're looking at, like, say, for example, again, I don't agree with just canceling student debt.
Right.
But if the idea...
what do you do going forward as well? It's just impractical on every
correct,
level.
Correct. But if you're doing these things, the idea is you're helping people that need help.
Yes.
All of a sudden, that's a problem. But we are always helping people that don't need it.
Yes.
Always.
Because we say...
every day, nonstop.
They're job creators, Kevin.
Well... and I guess I
and again, it's partly true.
Yes, but
it's not the whole
amount,
story.
But it's disproportionate to the amount of help they get.
And I just I get tired of this level of dishonesty again. Like again, Biden keeps calling it Putin's tax hike or Putin's,
which is not helping. By
no,
the way,
no,
the gas prices were already going
but
up.
But it's not on Vladimir Putin. But it's not what Putin is doing is not helping.
It's not monocausal, right? There
yeah.
are multiple levels to this. But
correct.
For instance, in his op-ed. He touted that he lowered the federal deficit more than anyone else. Okay, the federal deficit has been lowered. Why is that? Because of federal tax receipts, which increase with inflation. Because of the inflation, we have seen an $800 billion increase in tax receipts. That's inflation causing the deficit shrinking.
So inflation's good?
Well, I'm saying is don't take credit
it was a joke.
For it.
Don't yell at me. It was a joke. It wasn't meant to be.
But do you see what I mean? There's like nobody's really being honest here.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that.
They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
The voice of St. Louis. News that matters to you. KMOX.
You're listening to the show on KMOX. Chris Ranji, Amy Marks, of course, Kevin Wheeler here. You guys want to do a Will? I don't know that I have a lot to say about it at the moment, but there's some breaking news within the last half hour. If you guys want some, would you like me to?
Let me guess.
We would love it.
Let me guess. Is it an indictment of some kind?
It is, but it's not the Board of Aldermen that we talked about at the beginning of the show.
Oh no,
we talked about that. Obviously, three of them, and we'll have obviously news coverage on that moving forward. Not just us, but everybody on the station and the newsroom and everybody else will be all over that. No, the news today is that former White House advisor Peter Navarro indicted by a federal grand jury on two counts of contempt of Congress. So this is for failure to comply with a subpoena related to the January 6th investigation. So that's the breaking news. You guys have any reaction to it?
I guess I'm not surprised.
No, not really. I mean,
at this point, it's like, okay, it almost feels like all of these indictments, all of these investigations are kind of blending into each other. There have been so many.
You mean the January 6th stuff?
Yeah, and well, really just the Trump administration. Mm. I feel
so
like
many
every
indictments.
Day.
Yeah, I mean, indictments.
There's always somebody associated with it that's indicted.
As we mentioned with the Board of Aldermen story, I mean, like, indicted is not guilty.
Charged. Right.
We want to be very
charged,
clear about that. Like, nobody's assuming
or
anything. But
sorry.
Yeah, smoke,
right,
fire.
Exactly, right.
The analogy.
It is charged, not convicted. Yeah.
But forgetting ideology and forgetting specifics of January 6th, I do think it's important that people can't just tell Congress to buzz off.
Yes.
You can't just ignore a court, for example. The idea of being held in contempt is, to me, is an important thing. Because if people are not going to acknowledge the powers of the judicial branch or the legislative branch, then we're doing it wrong.
Like, then there are no rules and nothing.
And that's so again, not assuming guilt of anybody. Not even talking specifically about January 6th, but it should. It's not okay to just say, you know what? No, I don't want to talk to you.
Right.
If they have the legal power to call you in or to command you to testify, you can't just say, nope, I don't want to.
So let me ask you this. Speaking of democratic norms, understanding the gravity of a situation when you're dealing with the legislative branch or the judicial branch, or in this case, the executive branch. John Hinckley Jr., who tried to assassinate Ronald Reagan in 1981, will be unconditionally released on June 15th. So in days. This blows my mind that I could be at the grocery store and behind me could be John Hinckley Jr. getting his groceries. Oh, hey, John, how are you? Good. Oh, how are you doing since the assassination?
I probably wouldn't talk to him.
But do you know what I mean? Why does this feel really wrong to me?
I think it's very unlikely you run into John Hinckley Jr. in the grocery store.
But I could, theoretically.
Theoretically.
Well, I mean, ask him, you know, how are you doing since the assassination?
Theoretically,
attempt?
You and Brad Pitt could get together.
Well, I ran into Stephen King at the grocery store.
I saw Stephen King in a restaurant once.
But the point is, if you try to kill a president, I think, to me, that is treason. And with treason, well, my goodness, I think they
that's not what he was convicted of, though.
He wasn't convicted of trying to kill the president.
He was not convicted of treason.
No, but what I'm saying is, in my mind, that is tantamount to treason, and you should be in jail.
But legally, it clearly isn't, or they would have charged him with it.
Well, you're right, Kevin.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Amy, you do have a good point, because if we're talking about institutions that should be sacred,
yes.
I think one of the institutions, and I agree
sure.
with you,
sure.
But maybe there's some nuance with somebody who was legally declared insane. So if you're this guy who was not guilty by reason of insanity, because he's clearly crazy, because the dude now thinks he's going to have a musical career. So,
if he's still crazy, he shouldn't be coming out.
Hold on a second. It depends on if he's a danger to other people now or not. This was decades ago.
Okay.
Is he still that same kind of person? Now the nuance comes in. Like, I can't define that. I don't know if he is. I don't know if he is a danger to himself or other people. And I don't want to label mentally ill people as incapable of having productive lives, because that's not true. There are a lot of mentally ill people who can. And I don't know if he's the same person now that he was in the 80s.
Well,
I'd imagine he has made some progress.
Or they wouldn't let him out, right?
Right. So I don't know.
By they, I mean the parole board.
Right. And I agree with Amy that there are some things that should be absolute no-nos, right? You cannot make an attempt on the life of a president. You shouldn't do it to anybody, really.
He shot four people, by the way. He had six shots, hit the president and three other people.
One guy's paralyzed because of it.
Yeah.
And then passed away, ultimately. So I think that technically ended up, he is responsible for that death. Even though it happened many, many years later. But I agree with you on that. But if somebody is declared crazy and has gone through presumably treatments over the last several decades, at what point do we say, okay, you were crazy at that time, but now you are rehabilitated. Maybe we can let you out now.
I feel like I understand what you're saying. It just, to me, feels tantamount to treason. It's like, well, I mean,
but treason's intentional.
He tried to kill
again. You know what I mean? Yes. But intentional, like, you know what you're doing. If you're insane, if you're legally insane,
you could be insane and commit treason.
But you don't know what you're doing. So that's why I think there's a blurrier line there.
Here's the thing that if he had been convicted at the time, and the sentence was life with no possibility of parole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would not be arguing that he should be let out. Okay?
Right.
But we do have to go by what the ruling was. I mean, based on his sentencing guidelines, he was eligible for parole at a certain period after a certain period of time. And then it was up to the people that are making that decision.
Sure.
I don't know that I would have made the same decision. So I'm not really like in favor of him being out. That's not really my point. But
yeah, I don't know if he should be or not.
Yeah,
I really don't. I'm just saying I can't say he absolutely should not be out.
Can I ask you this? How did you feel about Sirhan Sirhan, who did kill RFK? He was granted parole in 2021.
Isn't that disputed? Whether or not he actually did it, or is he?
Oh, I didn't think it was.
I didn't
disputed.
Think that was in dispute.
No.
Oh. I mean, like, there are conspiracy theories that he did not actually do it.
Yeah, let's not open those doors.
Why not? Why not?
You put that pamphlet back in your pocket.
Yes, Ron. Yes, we don't.
By yourself.
Put the tinfoil hat away.
I don't know if it's tinfoil.
No, it's. I do get what you mean, because it's a sacred institution. Yes. The presidency, the Supreme Court, you know, all of these are sacred institutions. But a judge said it's so he's eligible for this. And
for what it's worth, his attorney says that the psychologist and experts have said his mental disease is in full, stable, and complete remission for 3 decades. So.
All right, rolling along on the show. We've got Cardinals baseball coming your way in a little bit. 12:25 for the pregame show, 1:20 first pitch. Mike Claiborne's going to join us in about a half an hour to talk Cards and Cubs. Right now, we've got Rich Rubino on the line, political analyst, author of The Great Political Trivia Challenge, Political Trivia on Steroids. We got a couple of interesting topics that we're going to be working on with Rich. First of all, Rich, thank you for doing this, man. Welcome in. How you doing?
Oh, you're welcome. So glad to be here.
Glad to have you with us, because hopefully with your background and the research that you've done, maybe you can help us out. I've been asking a question a lot. I've been asking Amy and Ranj, and they're tired of me asking them, so I'll ask you. Is it... I have a real problem sometimes with what seems like stupidity with federally elected officials, with people in Congress, with people that should be important people, but seem like they're not quite all there, like not quite bright enough to hold that thing. Now, what I want to know from you, Rich, is, A, am I maybe making too much out of bad sound bites and the misuse of words? But also, is this new? Like, it feels new, but I'm not sure that it is.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because, first of all, politicians, when you're in the limelight, when you're kind of under that microscope, every time you make a mistake, it's obviously going to be magnified. And most of the time, what politicians, or whether it's working on more minor pieces of legislation or trying to get something into a more major piece of legislation district, that's a lot of what congressmen are actually doing. So it is magnified a little bit. But that being said, there are elections, and I guess to a certain degree, it says something about the constituents and the people that elect these people versus the actual politicians, because politicians are just really tribunes of the people who actually elect them. So perhaps you have to kind of look at it in that respect. It reminds me of Dean Acheson, who was Truman's Secretary of State, and they were saying someone told them Congress should be more representative of the people. He says, no, they shouldn't be more representative of the people because the people are just as stupid as the members of Congress. So I would say something about them.
That's kind of where I was going to I was going to ask you this. Like, it's all right. Why are some of these people gaining influence? And like Kevin said, it does feel like it's worse now than at any other point of our lives. And maybe we're misremembering, but it just feels that way. Is it the electorate? Is it gerrymandering? Like, what exactly is leading to this, where you look at people who very clearly should not be serving, but they still win it anyway?
Yeah, you said that perfectly. Misremembered. I went back to Roger Clemens and the steroids hearing. I remember that correctly.
Yeah.
Yes, actually, gerrymandering has a lot to do with it, because so many of these members of Congress, if you look at it, there are so few marginal districts where you actually have to win votes from the other side. There's only about 7 districts, for example, that Democrats represent right now that Donald Trump won last time. Gerald Golden from Maine. The district that goes all the way from the top of Maine down to about Lewiston is actually the biggest district, the east of Mississippi, geographic-wise. He represents a district that went, he's a Democrat, he represents a district that Donald Trump won 55% of the vote last time, and there is no Democrat in the United States Congress that represents a district that Donald Trump did better in last time. He's also arguably the most conservative Democrat, so a lot. And you get to these points where you're trying to appeal in order to win for lots of these people. There are very conservative congressional districts in Georgia, for example, very liberal districts in New York and in the Northeast. And in order to win, you have to appeal. In order to win re-election, you're more worried about the primary than you are the general election. This is the preponderance of congressional districts. Just think about Missouri, for example. How many districts are actually competitive in Missouri? And I can't think of any that I can think of that are somewhat moderate. It's either you're a very liberal district or you're a very conservative district. And in order to win, You just have to go further left or you have to go further right, as opposed to trying to go to the center and trying to appeal to people that are kind of, try to appeal to people that can potentially be crossover voters. That's very rare right now in the current political sphere.
Yeah, kind of summing up, I think what we've talked about so far in the past 2 minutes are two opposing truths, which I both feel are true. I feel that, one, primaries are why we have people that nobody likes. You're forced to vote for somebody that you don't like. It's the lesser of two evils because of primaries. But also, when I look at the House of Representatives, I think, yeah, that's pretty much the people's house. It does represent America. It's a disaster. Thank heaven for the Senate. I know they're not that much better, but I mean, literally, how is that true that I'm voting for people I don't like, but when I look at the House of Representatives, I'm thinking, unfortunately, I think that's true. I think that's who we are.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously when they made that, the Senate was considered to be kind of the cooling saucer, if you will. Senators actually were originally not elected by the people. It was up until 1913 that actually you vote for the state legislatures, and then the state legislators would then vote for the United States would then vote for the Senate candidate. So back then, actually, elections essentially, when you're running for state legislature, they knew there was going to be a Senate seat up. They would say, "This is the person I'm going to support, and this is the person I would vote for." But now the senators at least a little bit closer to the people. But it is true that if you look at Senate races, they can be a little more competitive. Montana, for example, has a Democratic senator, even though Trump won the state by 20 points. Ohio has a Democratic senator. And then you look at some Republican. There are a few more Democratic states like Maine that has Susan Collins, who's somewhat of a moderate Republican. They both have to, in order to get elected, they both have to appeal to a broad cross-section of constituencies. The same thing, by the way, for governors. And if you're running for governor, if you look at this, this is very interesting. Massachusetts, Vermont, and Maryland all have Republican governors, and all three of them, they're the three most popular governors in the country right now, and all three of those respective states were the three best states for Joe Biden last time around. Very interesting, but you look at, on the other side of that, you look at some very Republican states have had very, very popular Democratic governors, John Bel Edwards in Louisiana, for example. There was Mike Beebe in Arkansas, so Sometimes when you're running statewide, you don't necessarily just have to appeal to these very specific constituencies and go as far right, as far left as dictates in order for you. Because obviously the number one rule, not only in politics, but in human nature in general, is self-preservation. And everyone that's a member of Congress, unless you're not running for re-election, your number one priority is to stay in power.
Rich Rubino is with us. He's political analyst, author of The Great Political Trivia Challenge, Political Trivia on Steroids, obviously studies how all of this works. So let's transition this to a slightly different version, but going back to the primaries and going back to that really kind of being the fight that is maybe the more important one when it comes to who's going to be moving on to the next level. And I know that it feels like some of the old guard on the Republican side is starting to push back or trying to push back on some of the newer guard. Do you think that's happening, one? And two, is that just basically what we should expect? Because even within each of the parties, there are certainly differing viewpoints on the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And what Donald Trump did, and I can't really think of anyone who's changed their party since William Jennings Bryan in 1896, is he changed the way Republicans are supposed to view the world. Prior to Donald Trump, the Republicans, every president from Eisenhower to George W. Bush, including the last three Republican nominees, John McCain and Mitt Romney, supported free trade, supported at least most of the presidents, supported more liberal immigration laws, and they some of them supported a pathway to citizenship, and on trade, they were more economic nationalists. I mean, they were rather free traders, and they were interventionist on foreign policy. Donald Trump changed in all three of those things. So as a result, in order to accommodate, and because Donald Trump became the face card of the Republican Party, many Republicans now espouse Trump's views and have changed their own views. Now, some of those, I guess you could call them apostates, if you will, like Paul Ryan, the former Speaker of the House, who's kind of persona non grata in the contemporaneous Republican Party. He's campaigning for Tom Rice, for example, a congressman in South Carolina, relatively conservative, who's kind of an establishment guy, and he was one of the few Republicans who actually voted for the second impeachment of Donald Trump. George W. Bush has come and is supporting Liz Cheney in her run for a House seat in Wyoming. She's obviously one of the only two Republican members who served in the January 6th panel and voted for the impeachment of Donald Trump. So there's a kind of interesting backlash between the establishment of the former establishment of the Republican Party. And obviously, I guess you can say that Donald Trump does now represent the establishment, because once you take over power, you are now the establishment. So it's now Donald Trump's Republican Party. But obviously, there are some members of the old guard who are saying we need kind of pre-Trump Republicanism. And I'm fascinated to see what happens when Donald Trump egresses from stage left from the political scene. Will the party go back to where it was prior to Trump, or has Donald Trump really remade the Republican Party? And will the new nominee of their party, assuming if it's not Donald Trump, whether it's 2024, 2028, 2032 and beyond, be a Donald Trump-type Republican, or be somebody who is more of a Republican, or a more traditional Republican, from everybody from, you know, Dwight Eisenhower up through Mitt Romney and John McCain?
Rich, an impossible question, and we have about 15 seconds.
Yes.
Do you like ranked choice voting?
Yes, absolutely. I'll tell you exactly why. Because what it does, it allows people to vote your conscience. Go back to 2000, people say, did Ralph Nader cost Al Gore the election? Well, if you were able to do ranked choice voting, and you're very liberal, or for that matter, if you're a conservative, you want to vote for Pat Buchanan, you can vote for that person. It's your first choice. And then that person doesn't garner 15%. The second person becomes your vote. It eliminates the wasted vote syndrome. And no political parties can no longer tell you cannot vote for a third party candidate because you are wasting your vote. You actually.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best.
From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
All right, rolling along on the show. We've got Cardinals baseball coming your way in a little bit. 12:25 for the pregame show, 1:20 first pitch. Mike Claiborne's going to join us in about a half an hour to talk Cards and Cubs. Right now, we've got Rich Rubino on the line, political analyst, author of The Great Political Trivia Challenge, Political Trivia on Steroids. We got a couple of interesting topics that we're going to be working on with Rich. First of all, Rich, thank you for doing this, man. Welcome in. How you doing?
Oh, you're welcome. So glad to be here.
Glad to have you with us, because hopefully with your background and the research that you've done, maybe you can help us out. I've been asking a question a lot. I've been asking Amy and Ranj, and they're tired of me asking them, so I'll ask you. Is it... I have a real problem sometimes with what seems like stupidity with federally elected officials, with people in Congress, with people that should be important people, but seem like they're not quite all there, like not quite bright enough to hold that thing. Now, what I want to know from you, Rich, is, A, am I maybe making too much out of bad sound bites and the misuse of words? But also, is this new? Like, it feels new, but I'm not sure that it is.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because, first of all, politicians, when you're in the limelight, when you're kind of under that microscope, every time you make a mistake, it's obviously going to be magnified. And most of the time, what politicians, or whether it's working on more minor pieces of legislation or trying to get something into a more major piece of legislation district, that's a lot of what congressmen are actually doing. It is magnified a little bit, but that being said, there are elections, and I guess to a certain degree, it says something about the constituents and the people that elect these people versus the actual politicians, because politicians are just really tribunes of the people who actually elect them. So perhaps you have to kind of look at it in that respect. It reminds me of Dean Acheson, who was Truman's Secretary of State, and they were saying, someone told them Congress should be more representative of the people. He says, no, they shouldn't be more representative of the people because the people are just as stupid as the members of Congress. So I would say something about them.
That's kind of where I was going to, yeah. I was going to ask you this. Like, it's all right. Why are some of these people gaining influence? And like Kevin said, it does feel like it's worse now than at any other point of our lives. And maybe we're misremembering, but it just feels that way. Is it the electorate? Is it gerrymandering? Like, what exactly is leading to this, where you look at people who very clearly should not be serving, but they still win it anyway?
Yeah, you said that perfectly. Misremembered. I went back to Roger Clemens and the steroid hearing. I remember that correctly.
Yeah.
Yes, actually, gerrymandering has a lot to do with it, because so many of these members of Congress, if you look at it, there are so few marginal districts where you actually have to win votes from the other side. There's only about 7 districts, for example, that Democrats represent right now that Donald Trump won last time. Gerald Golden from Maine. The district that goes all the way from the top of Maine down to about Lewiston, it's actually the biggest district, the biggest district east of Mississippi geographic-wise. He represents a district that went, he's a Democrat, he represents a district that Donald Trump won 55% of the vote last time, and there is no Democrat in the United States Congress that represents a district that Donald Trump did better in last time. He's also arguably the most conservative Democrat, so a lot. And you get to these points where you're trying to appeal in order to win for lots of these people. There are very conservative congressional districts in Georgia, for example, very liberal districts in New York and in the Northeast. And in order to win, you have to appeal. And in order to win re-election, you're more worried about the primary than you are the general election. This is the preponderance of congressional districts. Just think about Missouri, for example. How many districts are actually competitive in Missouri? And I can't think of any that I can think of that are somewhat moderate. It's either you're a very liberal district or you're a very conservative district, and in order to win, you just have to go further left or you have to go further right, as opposed to trying to go to the center and trying to appeal to people that are kind of try to appeal to people that can potentially be crossover voters. That's very rare right now in the current political sphere.
Yeah, kind of summing up, I think what we've talked about so far in the past 2 minutes are two opposing truths, which I both feel are true. I feel that one, primaries are why we have people that nobody likes. You're forced to vote for somebody that you don't like. It's the lesser of two evils because of primaries. But also, when I look at the House of Representatives, I think, yeah, that's pretty much the people's house. It does represent America. It's a disaster. Thank heaven for the Senate. I know they're not that much better, but I mean, literally, how is that true that I'm voting for people I don't like, but when I look at the House of Representatives, I'm thinking, unfortunately, I think that's true. I think that's who we are.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously when they made that, the Senate was considered to be kind of the cooling saucer, if you will. Senators actually were originally not elected by the people. It was up until 1913 that actually the state you vote for the state legislatures, and then the state legislators would then vote for the United States would then vote for the Senate candidate. So back then, actually, elections essentially, when you're running for state legislature, they knew there was going to be a Senate seat up. They would say, "This is the person I'm going to support, and this is the person I would vote for." But now the senators at least a little bit closer to the people. But it is true that if you look at Senate races, they can be a little more competitive. Montana, for example, has a Democratic senator, even though Trump won the state by 20 points. Ohio has a Democratic senator. And then you look at some Republican. There are a few Democratic states like Maine that has Susan Collins, who's somewhat of a moderate Republican. They both have to, in order to get elected, they both have to appeal to a broad cross-section of constituencies. The same thing, by the way, for governors. And if you're running for governor, if you look at this, this is very interesting. Massachusetts, Vermont, and Maryland all have Republican governors, and all three of them, they're the three most popular governors in the country right now, and all three of those respective states were the three best states for Joe Biden last time around. Very interesting, but you look at, on the other side of that, you look at some very Republican states have had very, very popular Democratic governors, John Bel Edwards in Louisiana, for example. There was Mike Beebe in Arkansas, so Sometimes when you're running statewide, you don't necessarily just have to appeal to these very specific constituencies and go as far right, as far left as dictates in order for you. Because obviously the number one rule, not only in politics, but in human nature in general, is self-preservation. And everyone that's a member of Congress, unless you're not running for re-election, your number one priority is to stay in power.
Rich Rubino is with us. He's political analyst, author of The Great Political Trivia Challenge, Political Trivia on Steroids, obviously studies how all of this works. So let's transition this to a slightly different version, but going back to the primaries and going back to that really kind of being the fight that is maybe the more important one when it comes to who's going to be moving on to the next level. And I know that it feels like some of the old guard on the Republican side is starting to push back or trying to push back on some of the newer guard. Do you think that's happening, one? And two, is that just basically what we should expect? Because even within each of the parties, there are certainly differing viewpoints on the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And what Donald Trump did, and I can't really think of anyone who's changed their party since William Jennings Bryan in 1896, is he changed the way Republicans are supposed to view the world. Prior to Donald Trump, the Republicans, every president from Eisenhower to George W. Bush, including the last three Republican nominees, John McCain and Mitt Romney, supported free trade, supported at least most of the presidents, supported more liberal immigration laws, and they some of them supported a pathway to citizenship, and on trade they were more economic nationalists. I mean, they were rather free traders, and they were interventionist on foreign policy. Donald Trump changed in all three of those things. So as a result, in order to accommodate, and because Donald Trump became the face card of the Republican Party, many Republicans now espouse Trump's views and have changed their own views. Now, some of those, I guess you could call them apostates, if you will, like Paul Ryan, the former Speaker of the House, who's kind of persona non grata in the contemporaneous Republican Party. He's campaigning for Tom Rice, for example, a congressman in South Carolina, relatively conservative, who's kind of an establishment guy, and he was one of the few Republicans who actually voted for the second impeachment of Donald Trump. George W. Bush has come and is supporting Liz Cheney in her run for a House seat in Wyoming. She's obviously one of the only two Republican members who served in the January 6th panel and voted for the impeachment of Donald Trump. So there's a kind of interesting backlash between the establishment of the former establishment of the Republican Party, and obviously, I guess you can say that Donald Trump does now represent the establishment, because once you take over power, you are now the establishment. So it's now Donald Trump's Republican Party. But obviously, there are some members of the old guard who are saying we need kind of pre-Trump Republicanism. And I'm fascinated to see what happens when Donald Trump egresses from stage left from the political scene. Will the party go back to its to where it was prior to Trump, or has Donald Trump really remade the Republican Party? And will the new nominee of their party, assuming if it's not Donald Trump, whether it's 2024, 2028, 2032 and beyond, be a Donald Trump type Republican, or be somebody who is more of a Republican, or a more traditional Republican from everybody from, you know, Dwight Eisenhower up through Mitt Romney and John McCain?
Rich, an impossible question, and we have about 15 seconds.
Yes.
Do you like ranked choice voting?
Yes, absolutely. I'll tell you exactly why, because what it does, it allows people to vote your conscience. Go back to 2000, people say, did Ralph Nader cost Al Gore the election? Well, if you were able to do ranked choice voting and you're very liberal, or for that matter, if you're a conservative, you want to vote for Pat Buchanan, you can vote for that person. It's your first choice. And then that person doesn't garner 15%. The second person becomes your vote. It eliminates the wasted vote syndrome. And no political parties can no longer tell you cannot vote for a third party candidate because you are wasting your vote. You actually get to vote for your conscience. So in some respects, you get to vote for your conscience, and then you also get to vote for your more realistic choice. So it's a win-win in that respect.
Rich, great stuff, man. We really appreciate you, and we'll look forward to talking again soon, man. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on.
You got it. That's Rich Rubino. He is a political analyst and author, and his book, The Great Political Trivia Challenge, Political Trivia on Steroids, obviously gets you some insight onto how some of this stuff works. I'm glad he knows the answers to these things.
It's fun.
I don't know, is it good or bad that it's just a reflection of us? That things are as weird as they are. Is that?
I think it's depressing, but it's probably always been that
yeah,
way.
No, yeah, it always has been.
We are the worst.
What is it? What's happened?
What's going on? What do you know?
What just happened?
What happened?
I need to know.
Trending now on the show.
All right, trending now. Where we are now on the show. Amy Marks, of course, Chris Ronji, Kevin Wheeler. We'll talk to Mike Claiborne after the top of the hour about Cards and Cubs. Pregame at 1:20. Pregame at 12:25. First pitch at 1:20. Miles Michaelis and Marcus Stroman are the pitchers. What do you guys, who wants to go first on the trending? Who wants, you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm happy because I'll just do a quick one here because there was one that was trending that Amy will also be interested in.
Okay.
The Last Jedi was just trending within the last little
what?
Bit. And it was because people are mad about some things with Obi-Wan. We've heard about some of the nasty racist stuff that were said to the actress that's playing Reva in the Obi-Wan series. The story of it was basically that the Last Jedi movie was kind of the line in the sand where people that are super judgy have said, you're not a real fan if you like this. And the Star Wars fan universe, which I'm a part of, but thankfully not super into, like super far into.
I think some people would call you super into it.
No, I am, but I'm not one of the people that's like, that's not canon! And yelling at people or being super angry because it doesn't fit something specific. So that was kind of like, is trending as that's what, it's kind of the line in the sand where there's, like we were just talking about the split. You know, in the classic Republicans versus the newer ones. That's how the Star Wars universe is right now. People are mad at each other.
Yeah, well, it's all, you know what it is? It's all you Comic-Con kind of people.
I'm not a Comic-Con person.
Well, you're the kind of person who would go to it. You're all
insane.
I've
never been to one.
Well, you would. There was just one here a couple of years ago.
I was probably here at that. I probably did go to that one.
Honest to goodness, I'd go to a Star Wars one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to dress up, but I'd go.
Yeah.
I liked The Last Jedi because Star Wars doesn't, it's not supposed to take itself so seriously. If you are a Star Wars fan that is so serious about it that you don't understand that even the actors themselves had corny jokes in the movies because it's supposed to be a fun thing.
It's fantasy.
It's not just that, but it there was always an element of goofiness to Star Wars. I mean, there are jokes in there that are goofy because you're supposed to have fun with it. So I liked The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker.
I've always found it just very odd. Star Wars, Marvel, any comic book thing, Game of Thrones, where if something doesn't fit exactly what was written or described in the book or the comic book or whatever, and people freaking, it just doesn't make it. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
Be entertained and enjoy it.
Yep.
Guess who's trending right now?
Who?
Tony La Russa.
Really?
Is trending. Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, what happened with Tony? So I'm looking on Twitter, and Joe Girardi was fired by the Phillies today.
Right.
He's no longer their manager. And I thought...
That's what fired means.
Yeah. So I thought that maybe Tony had done something positive, but no, it just looks like everybody wants him fired now. They said, well, if you fire Girardi, White Sox fans now want Tony La Russa fired as well because they are underachieving this year. This is very interesting to me.
Well, the whole firing dudes because players are hurt or teams aren't what the construct of the roster wasn't good is interesting to me. Like if you thought Joe Girardi was good enough to be your manager on opening day, this seems like an interesting time because you put together a Phillies team that's bad defensively, doesn't have enough pitching, and it got a bunch of guys that are supposed to mash. Well, if those guys don't mash, you're not going to be what you're supposed to be.
You know what's trending for me?
No.
The Celtics. Because they had a heck of a comeback.
Oh, my God.
They had a heck of a comeback last night. Wow. 120-108 against Golden State.
Look at that.
Up by 10 and then lost by the Warriors up by 10 and 12, then lost by 12.
Is it required to adopt the Celtics because of Jason Tatum? Like in St. Louis, I mean.
You know, you do whatever you want.
That's kind of where I'm rooting. That's kind of where I'm going.
I really like Golden State. I've always enjoyed that.
Of course you do. Of course.
Why not?
Big bandwagon fan.
They're fun.
Mike Claiborne's going to join us after the news here on the show.
The show, sponsored by Straight Realty, your St. Louis area experts. Why pay more than four? 314-441-4444.
Back in on the show, Chris Ranji, Amy Marks, of course, Kevin Wheeler with you here in about 15 minutes. We're done. That's because Cardinals baseball is coming up. That's going to be pregame show starting at 12:25, so 20 minutes from now, we hit the first pitch at 1:20. John Rooney, Rick Horton, Mike Claiborne, all in Chicago, of course, for this weekend series. It's a five-game series over 4 days, four left in the next 3 days. Our good friend Mike Claiborne is joining us from the broadcast booth to give us a little sneak peek as to what's going on there. Claibs, welcome in, buddy. How you doing, man? How's Chicago treating you?
Chicago is treating me well, with the exception of last night game, of course. The things that happened after that was very fine. I had no problem with that.
Yeah, let me guess. Food, drinks, friends.
All three. And they tied for first. It's Tony La Russa would say. No, this is one of my favorite cities to go to for a variety of reasons. The weather is good here today. We don't have that issue to deal with like we would have for opening weekend of the season when it was scheduled initially. But yeah, this is a good place, man. Good restaurants. Although, when you have a hotel, a very prominent hotel, and they say last call at 11 o'clock, there's something wrong with that picture.
That's Wildwood timing. I know those 11 o'clock last calls. They're out of there.
I don't get that. I mean, you know, I moved into the senior division, and I get it. And maybe I yawn a little earlier, but never at 11 o'clock.
I'll tell you what they do. They wait till the seniors go to bed, and then they go, okay, it's clear.
It's back open again.
The coast is clear.
Open the bar. Oh,
but the blue hairs are gone. Let's go for it now. I get it.
Claibs, the thing is, in Chicago, when that bar closes, just walk across the street because there's another one that's open waiting for you.
Well, you know what we did? So,
you know what the best thing is about this? Is that Ranji thinks he's going to teach you something.
No, so what we did was this. So, you know, most of the time when people say last call, that means, oh, we can have one more drink. So one guy said, all right, tell you what, we're going to have four more bottles of wine. And you guys, how many drinks do you get? All right, we're going to get four more for you guys. And so we just, you know, quadruple what we normally would have nobody was driving anywhere. So it was safe. But we fooled them more or less because they thought they were just going to pack up and leave. No. We're going to need some ice. We're going to need this. We're going to need that. And we need some more glasses. So we stuck around long enough to enjoy ourselves. And, you know, but I was really surprised by that. So I'm ready for them tonight, though. I'm ready tonight.
Great. Yeah, you do.
You don't sound like you are out at all.
Amy, let me just tell you something. I've been at this for a long time.
He's a big leaguer,
right?
Man. Come on.
It's all about balance, okay? That's what it's about.
Out with the boys, up with the men? Is that what they say?
As the great George Kissel, the late great George Kissel, would always say, you can't hoot with the owls and soar with the eagles. You got to make your decision on which one you want to. So, you know what? I pace myself, have great balance. And you have to remember, I learned from the greatest of all time, Mike Shannon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Mike Shannon, he taught me so many things in life But that was one of them. And I remember our first trip to Chicago many, many years ago. And we had been out for a while. It was an off day. We had an off day the next day. And so we decided, he said, all right, big boy, we're going to do some running tonight. And little did I know what running meant to him. And we hit a few places, and we even hit a few places that were closed. All right.
That's right.
And so it's Mike Shannon. You always leave the door open for him. So it's really late. And so we have a tee time scheduled for the next day. We have an off day. We're going to hang out, play some golf. And so we get back to the hotel. He said, hey, I'll see you at 7. And I said, okay. And I was like saying to myself, no, we play at 7. So I called him and said, hey, Mike, you know, we play at 7. We have to be there a little earlier than that. So he was about to take a bath, all right, because you could hear the water running. And so I called him. He said, all right, I'll meet you downstairs. So we're out on the golf course playing, and a guy rolls up. He says, hey, which one of you guys are Mike Shannon? And he said, it's me. He said, hey, the hotel just called. Apparently you left the bathtub running, and the two floors below you are flooded.
Come on.
And
so you would have thought. And so his thing was, what can I do? I'm on a golf course. All I can do is say, you have my permission to turn the water off in my room. And he kept playing. He kept playing.
Oh, and he's got a point. What's he going to do? Is he going to go back?
Exactly. What do you want me to do? Bring a towel and mop it up?
Thank you for the permission.
So
turn the water off.
I have, you know, thousands of Shannon stories. They're all fun and they're all good. But he basically indoctrinated me on how to conduct yourself in Chicago.
So he did for
First of all, you don't take a bath. You take a shower.
He did for you what Waino and Yachty and Albert are doing for all the kids on the team now. And yeah, I don't mean off the field, although maybe off the field. I'm talking about like on the field for them.
Well, these guys don't go out anymore.
That's true.
They're missing a great era of being a professional athlete. They don't go out. Or at least when they do, they go and they get a private room or something. But they're not at a bar, you know, buying a round for everybody or letting somebody buy a round for them. And that's the unfortunate thing. That's the society that we live in. But they're missing it. So I'm trying to do it on their behalf.
Everybody's got a camera now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can't.
You couldn't be more right. Yep. And that's the thing that really it's taken away. It's really destroyed a fabric of what pro sports is all about.
Going out at night.
Yeah. Yes, going out at night. Get the benefits of being.
I mean, it is an entertainment venue, right?
Klaibs knows exactly. This. Klaibs, you know this more than anybody. I think you're not going to have the Bobby Plager stories anymore.
No. And you know what, Amy, you are spot on. That era is gone. And unfortunately, you can tell the stories, and you know, people like me who've been around for a while who remember the stories and maybe were part of some of the stories, but there's going to be a generation that will look at you like you have an eye in the middle of your head because they have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, Klaibs.
I'm appalled that people do such
people used to go out and partake in beverages.
Exactly. Now, let me get this straight. You guys actually went out and had at a bar?
Yeah.
You guys actually were there after the bar closed?
Yeah. Well, you got the whole thing today, right? Like back in the day, this could have been a quote unquote slow day, but maybe a fast game because it's Chicago and everybody would have been out late and it's an early game. So back in the day, that was a bit of an issue, but now it's not so much.
No, it's not because, you know, back in the day, you play a game, you had a dinner reservations at a really nice place, and maybe you went out for a post-meal cocktail of some sort. And you were back in the room at a reasonable time because you had a day game the next day.
Right.
Right. And now, you know, we have a day game tomorrow. We have a night game tomorrow. And so this will be a balanced day and balanced evening for me.
Yeah, that's a good point. You got the doubleheader on Saturday. All right, Klaibs, looking as to what's going on the field. Obviously, last night didn't go the way the team wanted it to. Tough night for Matthew Liberatore. But tonight it's Miles Mikolas and Marcus Stromer, I should say today. So that should be a pretty good matchup.
It really should be. You know, Miles Mikolas is our best pitcher right now. And while he's had some tough luck as far as decisions are concerned, he's given the Cardinals a chance to win every game he's pitched in this year. And, you know, they're going to go with Marcus Stroman, a guy we haven't seen a lot because he's pitched in the American League and he was with in the Eastern Division with the Mets. And we didn't play the Mets during the pandemic. So we haven't seen a great deal. But guess what, Kevin? Guess who hits Marcus Stroman well? I'll give you three guesses and you only really need one.
All right, so Albert.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Oh, shocking. Shocking.
Yeah, exactly.
Paul Goldschmidt, if you're a pitcher, he hits you well.
He's hitting everyone. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed about this, two things. One, he's hitting every good pitcher as well as bad pitcher.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this isn't like he's hitting rag arms. But the other thing is what he's doing with two strikes is amazing. Now, I know he got called out on strikes last night, but he is a guy that has just murdered pitchers with two strikes, and he's setting so many guys up. So I'm anxious to see what he's able to do today against a good pitcher in Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, you were talking about the pitching and how Miles Michaelis is doing right now. We're a third of the way through the season. First 2 months of the season are, well, I guess we're about a third of the way through. As you look at this team, you look at the division, you look at the landscape of the National League, how confident are you in this Cardinals team that despite the injuries, despite the things they have dealt with so far, will be in the playoffs and therefore make a run? I know it's a long way off, but as you look at them, how do you see them?
Well, it's a good question. And Kevin, you might have to give Chris a heads up on my actual day of evaluation.
Yeah, it's not yet, Ronch.
Oh,
it's not,
is it?
And really, it's been moved back.
It's flag day. Okay. It's supposed to be post Memorial Day.
Oh. No, it's flag day.
Okay.
And we moved it back to the 4th of July this year because of the lockout.
Ah, okay. All right. That's fair.
We had ample time to evaluate everyone. But, you know, just small sample size. To me, I think the Cardinals should be in postseason play. The division that they're in is not very good beyond the Cardinals and Milwaukee. So you don't have to look over your shoulder very much. And then when you look around at the other divisions, that Western division is really good, although San Diego's had a little bump in the road here recently. And the East, you know, the Mets look like they're going to run away with that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I really thought Miami would be more competitive, and maybe they might turn it around. We all knew Washington was going to be awful, and they've lived up to that expectation. Philadelphia fired their manager today, so that ought to tell you what they're going through. So, you know, it's one, and Atlanta is not trying to find themselves.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be hard for the Cardinals not to get into postseason unless something catastrophic takes place. And speaking of catastrophic, we had this walkathon last night, and I've learned already that if there's one thing Oliver Marmol is not a fan of, is walks.
Yep.
Because, you know, Kevin, you saw it firsthand last year where, and it was around this time of the year. As a matter of fact, it started May 29th, where
right,
we couldn't
when Jack
get
went
anybody
down.
Out.
Yeah.
And we saw a hint of that last night, and I think it was one of the first times we've seen Ollie have the red ass about something. He was not a happy man and was still smoking this morning when I talked to him about it. And the Cardinals have made some roster changes. Matthew Liberatore is out. Cody Whitley is out. And we're going to see Jake Thompson, the former first-round pick in 2019, Zach Thompson, and also Johan Oviedo, who I think is on a short leash.
Yeah,
I mean, they've really been patient with him. And really, it was an unfortunate situation they threw him in when COVID broke out. He really wasn't ready, but they didn't have anybody else to pitch. So he's in Memphis. He started in Memphis this year. They say he's been okay. But I'll tell you this, if he starts walking people this afternoon or whenever he gets in the game, he can be back in Memphis by sundown.
Yeah,
there's not going to be a lot of patience here for him in walks. And this is the one pet peeve that he has, that'd be at Ollie Marmol. With regard to how he deals with his pitching staff.
Hey, Klebs, I want to go back to Paul Goldschmidt. You have seen a lot of extraordinary players in your career. What in your mind is different about Paul Goldschmidt where you look at that and go, oh, man, I haven't seen that before, or perhaps I've only seen that in this great player?
You know, that's a great question, Amy, that I've been asking different people. I've only seen this once, and that was the year Albert won the batting championship as a Cardinal. I haven't seen anything close to this because, as I touched on, who he's hitting against, and it doesn't make a difference what the count is. It doesn't make a difference what the ballpark is. He's just kept it simple. And talking to Turner Ward, Cardinals assistant hitting coach in his first year, he worked with Goldie out in Arizona. He was a hitting coach out in Arizona with him. And I think that them uniting once again has really helped Paul Goldschmidt keep it simple. But it's a fascinating feat that he's undertaking right now. And if people haven't been watching, it is certainly worth the price of admission. It's kind of like when you think about the days of McGuire, when he would come to the plate and everybody would stop what they were doing to watch him hit. And we've seen it with Albert when he was in the Cardinal uniform. I think we're seeing it now with Goldschmidt because, you know, the consistency is something we just don't see on a daily basis. And we're seeing it now with him. So enjoy it while you can. Someday he's going to go 0-for-4.
Yeah.
There's going to be a day it's going to happen. Yeah. But until then, I'm going to enjoy, and I suggest all baseball fans, not just Cardinal fans, all baseball fans, take this in, because we just don't see it on a regular basis.
All right, Klebs, we'll close on this. Quick thought on Tyler O'Neill, Dylan Carlson, both sent out on rehab assignments. Tyler O'Neill will be at Memphis. Carlson's going to be at Springfield. So I take it that means that it sounds like they're pretty close. I mean, if you're going out, you're probably not too much more than a few days away from having a chance to come back.
Yeah, and I think that there are a couple of guys that probably need to think about this. Corey Dickerson, who we signed in the offseason, has had some tough time. Now, he's facing Stroman today, and he's hit Stroman as well as anyone in his career. But he and Lars Nootbaar could probably be odd men out in that situation when those two are able to come back. And as you mentioned, with the rehab starts, they have to be reasonably close. I would think either you see him in Tampa or they'll maybe just hold him back until we come back to St. Louis next weekend.
Some of it has to be how they recover, how long it takes. And also maybe especially with Tyler, how's he hitting? Because he wasn't really.
He wasn't hitting. No. You're right. And you know what? Carlson wasn't setting the world on fire either. So I think it's more important for them to get their stroke as well as getting their health back, because they were not effective players before they were injured. So hopefully they can put it all together when they come back and be the players that we saw them be last year. And if they can be close to that, I think everybody would be happy.
Yeah, great point. All right, Klebs, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you. Have fun there today. And obviously we'll talk to you again soon, man.
Well, I'm tickled pink to be part of the show.
Yeah, every Friday, man.
You guys every Friday. You guys are having a lot of fun with it. And I hope that everybody understands this is what we show up to do, is have fun.
Yeah.
We'll let somebody else get a headache over the world. I'm just showing up to have a good time.
All right. Well, we'll talk
There's
to you
plenty
next.
Plenty of people doing it. All right. Looking forward to it, gang. Yeah. Have a great weekend.
You got it. Mike Klebs. Klebs, for what he's referring to, Klebs is going to join us every Friday moving forward, which is perfect setting, too, because we can talk ball and just have a little fun, too, on a Friday.
Oh, I love it. I mean, that the experience, the knowledge, and the stories that he has. You can't top it.
I just wish I could see them, like see those stories like in real time, you know, or maybe have video like. That'd be great.
I just want to know what hotel he's at. We need to talk to the bartender.
You could probably text him, I'm sure.
We'll talk to the bartender. 11 o'clock?
It's so
closing
bad.
Time?
This isn't
so
bad.
Get lost.
Hey, guys, great first week. Been fun. We'll catch everybody again on the show on Monday. We've got Cardinals baseball coming your way next here on KMOX.
The show, sponsored by Straight Realty, your St. Louis area experts. Why pay more than four? 314-441-4444.
Back in on the show, Chris Ranji, Amy Marks, of course, Kevin Wheeler with you here. In about 15 minutes, we're done. That's because Cardinals baseball is coming up. That's going to be pregame show starting at 12:25, so 20 minutes from now, we hit the first pitch at 1:20. John Rooney, Rick Horton, Mike Claiborne, all in Chicago, of course, for this weekend series. It's a five-game series over 4 days, four left in the next 3 days. A good friend, Mike Claiborne, is joining us from the broadcast booth to give us a little sneak peek as to what's going on there. Claibs, welcome in, buddy. How you doing, man? How's Chicago treating you?
Chicago is treating me well, with the exception of last night. game, of course. The things that happened after that, it was very fine. I had no problem with that.
Let me guess. Food, drinks, friends.
All three. And they tied for first, as Tony La Russa would say. No, this is one of my favorite cities to go to for a variety of reasons. The weather is good here today. We don't have that issue to deal with like we would have for opening weekend of the season when it was scheduled initially. But yeah, this is a good place, man. Good restaurants. Although, when you have a hotel, a very prominent hotel, and they say last call at 11 o'clock, there's something wrong with that picture. That's
hey,
all I'm saying.
That's Wildwood timing. I know those 11 o'clock last calls. They're out of there.
I don't get that. I mean, you know, I moved into the senior division, and I get it, and maybe I yawn a little earlier, but never at 11 o'clock.
I'll tell you what they do. They wait till the seniors go to bed, and then they go, okay, it's clear.
It's back open again.
The coast is clear.
Open the bar. Oh,
but the blue hairs are gone. Let's go for it now. I get it.
Klebs, the thing is, in Chicago, when that bar closes, just walk across the street, because there's another one that's open waiting for you.
Well, you know what we did? So,
the best thing, Klebs, you know what the best thing is about this? Is that Ranji thinks he's going to teach you something.
No, so what we did was this. So, you know, most of the time when people say last call, that means, oh, we can have one more drink. So one guy said, all right, tell you what, we're going to have a four more bottles of wine. And you guys, how many drinks do you get? All right, we're going to get four more for you guys. And so we just, you know, quadrupled what we normally would have.
There you go.
Because nobody was driving anywhere, so it was safe. But we fooled them more or less because they thought they were just going to pack up and leave. Oh, no. We're going to need some ice. We're going to need this. We're going to need that. And we need some more glasses. So we stuck around long enough to enjoy ourselves. And, you know, but I was really surprised by that. So I'm ready for them tonight, though. I'm ready tonight.
Great. Yeah, you do.
You don't sound like you are out at all.
Amy, let me just tell you something. I've been at this for a long time.
He's a big leaguer,
right?
Man. Come on.
It's all about balance, okay? That's what it's about.
Out with the boys, up with the men? Is that what they say?
As the great George Kissel, the late great George Kissel, would always say, you can't hoot with the owls and soar with the eagles. You got to make your decision on which one you want to pick. So, you know what? I pace myself, have great balance. And you have to remember, I learned from the greatest of all time, Mike Shannon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Mike Shannon, he taught me so many things in life, but that was one of them. And I remember our first trip to Chicago many, many years ago. And we had been out for a while. It was an off day. We had an off day the next day. And so we decided, he said, all right, big boy, we're going to do some running tonight. And little did I know what running meant to him. And we hit a few places. And we even hit a few places that were closed. All right.
That's right.
And so it's Mike Shannon. You always leave the door open for him. So it's really late. And so we have a tee time schedule for the next day. We have an off day. We're going to hang out, play some golf. And so we get back to the hotel. He said, hey, I'll see you at 7. And I said, okay. And I was like saying to myself, no, we play at 7. So I called him and said, hey, Mike, you know, we play at 7. We have to be there a little earlier than that. So he was about to take a bath, all right, because you could hear the water running. And so I called him. He said, all right, I'll meet you downstairs. So we're out on the golf course playing, and a guy rolls up. He says, hey, which one of you guys are Mike Shannon? And he said, it's me. He said, hey, the hotel just called. Apparently, you left the bathtub running, and the two floors below you are flooded.
Come on.
Oh, no.
So come on. You would have thought. And so his thing was, what can I do? I'm on a golf course. All I can do is say, you have my permission to turn the water off in my room. And he kept playing.
Oh, and he's got a point. What's he going to do? Is he going to go
exactly.
back?
Exactly. What do you want me to do? Bring a towel and mop it up?
Thank you for the permission.
So
turn the water off.
I have, you know, thousands of Shannon stories. They're all fun and they're all good. But he basically indoctrinated me on how to conduct yourself in Chicago.
So he did for
First
you.
First of all, you don't take a bath. You take a shower.
He did for you what Waino and Yachty and Albert are doing for all the kids on the team now. And yeah, I don't mean off the field, although maybe off the field. I'm talking about like on the field for them.
Well, these guys don't go out anymore.
That's true. You know,
They're missing a great era of being a professional athlete. They don't go out. Or at least when they do, they go and they get a private room or something. But they're not at a bar, you know, buying a round for everybody or letting somebody buy a round for them. And that's the unfortunate thing. That's the society that we live in. But they're missing it. So I'm trying to do it on their behalf.
Everybody's got a camera now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can't.
You couldn't be more right.
Yep.
And that's the thing that really it's taken away. It's really destroyed the fabric of what pro sports is all about.
Going out at night.
Yeah. Yes, going out at night. Get the benefits of being.
I mean, it is an entertainment venue, right?
Klaibs knows
exactly.
This. Klaibs, you know this more than anybody. I think you're not going to have the Bobby Plager stories anymore.
No. And you know what, Amy, you are spot on. That era is gone. And unfortunately, you can tell the stories, and you know, people like me who've been around for a while who remember the stories and maybe were part of some of the stories, but there's going to be a generation that will look at you like you have an eye in the middle of your head because they have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, Klaibs.
I'm appalled that people do such things.
People used to go out and partake in beverages.
Exactly. Now, let me get this straight. You guys actually went out and had at a bar?
Yeah.
You guys actually were there after the bar closed?
Yeah. Well, you got the whole thing today, right? Like back in the day, this could have been a quote unquote slow day, but maybe a fast game because it's Chicago and everybody would have been out late and it's an early game. So back in the day, that was a bit of an issue, but now it's not so much.
No, it's not because, you know, back in the day, you play a game, you had a dinner reservations at a really nice place, and maybe you went out for a post meal cocktail of some sort. And you were back in the room at a reasonable time because you had a day game the next day.
Right.
And now, you know, we have a day game tomorrow. We have a night game tomorrow. And so this will be a balanced day and balanced evening for me.
Yeah, that's a good point. Got the doubleheader on Saturday. All right, Cleves, looking as to what's going on the field. Obviously, last night didn't go the way the team wanted it to. Tough night for Matthew Liberatore. But tonight it's Miles Mikolas and Marcus Stroman, or I should say today. So that should be a pretty good matchup.
It really should be. You know, Miles Mikolas is our best pitcher right now. And while he's had some tough luck as far as decisions are concerned, he's given the Cardinals a chance to win every game he's pitched in this year. And, you know, they're going to go with Marcus Stroman, a guy we haven't seen a lot because he's pitched in the American League and he was with in the Eastern Division with the Mets. And we didn't play the Mets during the pandemic. So we haven't seen a great deal. But guess what, Kevin? Guess who hits Marcus Stroman well? I'll give you three guesses and you only really need one.
All right. So Albert.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Crushing. Shocking. Shocking.
Yeah, exactly.
Paul Goldschmidt, if you're a pitcher, he hits you well.
He's hitting everyone. And you know, one of the things that I've noticed about this, two things. One, he's hitting every good pitcher as well as bad pitcher.
Yeah.
Okay. This isn't like he's hitting rag arms. But the other thing is what he's doing with two strikes is amazing. Now, I know he got called out on strikes last night, but he is a guy that has just murdered pitchers with two strikes, and he's setting so many guys up. So I'm anxious to see what he's able to do today against a good pitcher in Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, you were talking about the pitching and how Miles Mikolas is doing right now. We're a third of the way through the season. First 2 months of the season are, well, I guess we're about a third of the way through. As you look at this team, you look at the division, you look at the landscape of the National League, how confident are you in this Cardinals team that despite the injuries, despite the things they have dealt with so far, will be in the playoffs and therefore make a run? I know it's a long way off, but as you look at them, how do you see them?
Well, it's a good question. And Kevin, you might have to give Chris a heads up on my actual day of evaluation.
Yeah, it's not yet, Ranch.
Oh,
it's
not, is it?
And really, it's been moved back.
It's flag it's day. Flag okay. Day. It's supposed to be post Memorial Day.
No, it's Flag Day.
Okay.
And we moved it back to the 4th of July this year because of the lockout.
Okay. All right. That's
we
fair.
We had ample time to evaluate everyone. But, you know, just small sample size. To me, I think the Cardinals should be in postseason play. The division that they're in is not very good beyond the Cardinals and Milwaukee. So you don't have to look over your shoulder very much. And then when you look around at the other divisions, that Western division is really good. Although San Diego's had a little bump in the road here recently. In the East, you know, the Mets look like they're going to run away with that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I really thought Miami would be more competitive. Mm. And maybe they might turn it around. We all knew Washington was going to be awful. And they've lived up to that expectation. Philadelphia fired their manager today. So that ought to tell you what they're going through. So, you know, it's one in Atlanta is not trying to find themselves.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be hard for the Cardinals not to get into postseason unless something catastrophic takes place. And speaking of catastrophic, we had this walkathon last night, and I've learned already that if there's one thing Oliver Marmol is not a fan of, is walks.
Yep.
Because, you know, Kevin, you saw it firsthand last year where, and it was around this time of the year. As a matter of fact, it started May 29th, where
right,
we couldn't
when Jack
get
went
anybody
down.
Out.
Yeah.
And we saw a hint of that last night, and I think it was one of the first times we've seen Ollie have the red ass about something. He was not a happy man and was still smoking this morning when I talked to him about it. And the Cardinals have made some roster changes. Matthew Liberatore is out. Cody Whitley is out. And we're going to see Jake Thompson, the former first-round pick in 2019, Zach Thompson, and also Johan Oviedo, who I think is on a short leash.
Yeah,
I mean, they've really been patient with him. And really, it was an unfortunate situation they threw him in when COVID broke out. He really wasn't ready, but they didn't have anybody else to pitch. So he's in Memphis. He started in Memphis this year. They say he's been okay. But I'll tell you this, if he starts walking people this afternoon or whenever he gets in the game, he can be back in Memphis by sundown.
Yeah,
there's not going to be a lot of patience here for him in walks. And this is the one pet peeve that he has, that be it Ollie Marmol. With regard to how he deals with his pitching staff.
Hey, Cleves, I want to go back to Paul Goldschmidt. You have seen a lot of extraordinary players in your career. What in your mind is different about Paul Goldschmidt where you look at that and go, oh, man, I haven't seen that before, or perhaps I've only seen that in this great player?
You know, that's a great question, Amy, that I've been asking different people. I've only seen this once. And that was the year Albert won the batting championship as a Cardinal. I haven't seen anything close to this because, as I touched on, who he's hitting against, and it doesn't make a difference what the count is. It doesn't make a difference what the ballpark is. He's just kept it simple. And talking to Turner Ward, Cardinals assistant hitting coach in his first year, he worked with Goldie out in Arizona. He was a hitting coach out in Arizona with him. And I think that them uniting once again has really helped Paul Goldschmidt keep it simple. But it's a fascinating feat that he's undertaking right now. And if people haven't been watching, it is certainly worth the price of admission. It's kind of like when you think about the days of McGuire, when he would come to the plate and everybody would stop what they were doing to watch him hit. And we've seen it with Albert when he was in the Cardinal uniform. I think we're seeing it now with Goldschmidt because, you know, the consistency is something we just don't see on a daily basis. And we're seeing it now with him. So enjoy it while you can. Someday he's going to go 0-for-4. Yeah. There's going to be a day it's going to happen. Yeah. But until then, I'm going to enjoy it. And I suggest all baseball fans, not just Cardinal fans, all baseball fans take this in because we just don't see it on a regular basis.
All right, Klebs, we'll close on this. Quick thought on Tyler O'Neill, Dylan Carlson, both sent out on rehab assignments. Tyler O'Neill will be at Memphis. Carlson's going to be at Springfield. So I take it that means that it sounds like they're pretty close. I mean, if you're going out, you're probably not too much more than a few days away from having a chance to come back.
Yeah, and I think that there are a couple of guys that probably need to think about this. Corey Dickerson, who we signed in the offseason, has had some tough time. Now, he's facing Stroman today, and he's hit Stroman as well as anyone in his career. But he and Lars Nootbaar could probably be odd men out in that situation when those two are able to come back. And as you mentioned, with the rehab starts, they have to be reasonably close. I would think either you see him in Tampa or they'll maybe just hold him back until we come back to St. Louis next weekend.
Some of it has to be how they recover, how long it takes. And also maybe especially with Tyler, how's he hitting? Because he wasn't really
– He wasn't hitting. You're right. And you know what? Carlson wasn't setting the world on fire either. So I think it's more important for them to get their stroke as well as getting their health back because they were not effective players before they were injured. So hopefully they can put it all together when they come back and be the players that we saw them be last year. And if they can be close to that, I think everybody would be happy.
Yeah, great point. All right, Klebs, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you. Have fun there today. And obviously we'll talk to you again soon, man.
Well, I'm tickled pink to be part of the show.
Yeah, every Friday, man.
You guys are having a lot of fun with it. And I hope that everybody understands this is what we show up to do is have fun.
Yeah.
We'll let somebody else get a headache over the world. I'm just showing up to have a good time.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you next
week. Plenty of people doing it. All right. Looking forward to it, gang. Yeah. Have a great weekend.
You got it. Mike Claiborne. Klebs, for what he's referring to, Klebs is going to join us every Friday moving forward, which is perfect setting, too, because we can talk ball and just have a little fun, too, on a Friday.
Oh, I love it. I mean, the experience, the knowledge, and the stories that he has. You can't top it.
I just wish I could see them, like see those stories like in real time, you know, or maybe have video like. That'd be great.
I just want to know what hotel he's at.
We
need to talk to the bartender.
You could probably text him, I'm sure.
We'll talk to the bartender. 11 o'clock?
It's so
closing
bad.
Time?
This isn't
so
wild. Bad.
Get lost.
Hey, guys, great first week. Been fun. We'll catch everybody again on the show on Monday. We've got Cardinals baseball coming your way next here on KMOX.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.